is A Vision with your host, Jane Asher. Jane is inspired daily by discovering the deepest passions in others. Each week, she will be digging deep to find what excites, motivates, and empowers individuals to explore new horizons, achieve their greatest dreams, and live up to their full potential. The time is now for Voices of Vision.
Oh, and happy Monday to you. And I am so excited. It is going to be one of those shows that, in my estimation, is going to be listened to again and again. I know I'm going to, because I am with one of my dearest friends. He's a mentor. He's my radio muse and one of the people I respect the most in my chosen profession, Mr. Dick Kernan. Welcome to the show.
You are so kind. Thank you.
Either that or full of BS is what my family would say.
I'll take it either way, Jane.
Seriously. No, but this is no BS. I absolutely adore you. And, you know, we've had this amazing, you know, the student-professor relationship. But I always felt that you really treated me at a level of, you know, just respect and kindness. You treated me as, you know, someone that was an equal. I never felt like you looked down. I never felt like you were like, you know. And that's really important when, you know, you've been in broadcasting 60 years. That's double the time that I have been, okay?
It's probably so double the time you've been on the planet.
I'm telling you. Well, it is, actually, to be quite honest with you. It really is. Thank you. I'm just a youngin'. But you know, an extraordinary career that you've had. You know, you're an educator, but you were on the air. And I remember back when I was going to Specs, I would call in. I mean, we would all gather at Schoen Heights because, you know, she had Central. And all of us were there. And do you remember we used to call into the show?
No, and, I don't remember that.
Oh, my God, Dick, I'll never forget. PD 980 was our class, and we had a party. We were raging one time, and I can't remember. I think it might have been Annie, and she called in and said something not so, you know, it wasn't the brightest thing in the world to do, I guess, after you've had a few beers.
Yeah.
And you kind of just opened up a can of whoop ass on her, and it was hilarious. It was so funny. I mean, I'd give anything to have that recording.
Well, but,
we have great respect for you. So let's talk about, what do you think is happening right now? I mean, there's so many changes going on.
I have a subject.
Oh, good. Bring it on.
Me too.
Me too. Oh, let's hear about me too.
Well, me too.
What are your thoughts about that?
I think it is way overdue.
Okay. Yeah. I have to agree with you.
Yeah. I really admire the women who have stepped forward and said, yes, this happened to me. And yes, I resented it. And yes, and yes. And everybody kind of, they had a big meeting here in Detroit, just, I believe it was last week. And I just think it is so overdue that women got some respect from men, particularly men who have power. It is just, when you hear these stories, I saw an interview last, I think it was on, had to be on 60 Minutes with the Olympic athlete. And she talked about this creep that was trainer for female athletes.
Oh, yeah.
And this creep is on trial. He's already been convicted of one thing. I'm hoping that they hang him out to dry.
Yeah.
But it really is, you know, something that has been ignored for a very long time, and I'm really glad to see it being brought to the forefront.
Well, I think that there's, you know, a lot of times there's so much fear. There's shame, which is just so unnecessary, but everybody has it. And when you play on that and you go after someone that is perhaps weaker than you physically or whatever, and then there's, you know, people don't, you know, women especially don't know that they can speak up. Yep. And I think that this has started a real good conversation. Let's just put it that way, because I think it's really necessary to have these conversations and and to get there and to get to the basis of, no, that's not okay.
It's not okay. Yeah.
It's not okay.
An interesting conversation with a waitress at the restaurant that I go to today. And she said that at one point in her life, she was, I think, working at a big retail outlet. And she was back in the stock room. And there's this guy who was kind of down the, you know, maybe 10 feet away and kept moving closer and closer and finally got behind her and started to hump her. And she turned around. Geez. I love this story. She turned around, grabbed him around the throat, and threw him on, threw him down on the floor. I just
thought that's awesome.
What a great story. I mean, you just don't expect that. You know, here's this little 5'5" female who just grabs you around the throat and trashes you. I love it.
Yeah. You know, my dad told me a great story. My mother, you know, she took no prisoners. I mean, she was very direct, very kind and compassionate. But if you didn't want to hear the truth, you would certainly never ask her, because she would give it to you right between the eyes. Well, my dad said that they were at a, you know, a party. They were hanging out with a bunch of people, and I don't recall which person it was or what friend. It doesn't matter. But he grabbed my mother from the behind.
And he was, and your dad was there?
Oh, yeah. Dad was there. They were at a party. Everybody's having this, yucking it up. Dad did not see this happen. My mother turned around, and she grabbed him. very, you know, very uncomfortably.
Yes, I'll bet.
She looked at him with her steely blue eyes and just said, "If you ever touch me again, these will be gone."
Go, Mom.
And seriously, and he told me that story years later after she was gone. But he loved that. He loved that my mother had the, you know, the huevos to just get in there and stand up for herself. So fortunately, in my family, women are very empowered, and we're very, you know, to my knowledge, the five of us, none of us were ever touched. But I pity the fool, because, you know, not going to happen. Yeah. But, you know, some women aren't so fortunate, and it happens. And it happens a lot in every industry, you know, even even the stuff, the comments that are just so inappropriate. And, you know, and I've heard them, especially in radio, because there is no filter. And, you know, there's a lot of black comedy and stuff. But I've heard things, but I would just look at the person and go, really? You know, did you really have to say that? That's just not even close to being appropriate. So,
but men have had that permission.
Yeah, I suppose. Maybe.
Oh,
do you
come on. They've had that permission. You know, these clowns that are getting hung out to dry as we speak were in positions of power.
Yes, absolutely.
Very often, and this is the case in this creep trainer, they were kids. I mean, they were 15, 16, 17 years old. And this guy's convincing them that what he's doing is going to be really essential to her, to their ability to do their thing. I mean, it's just, and then you throw in, you know, just the power. I mean, take a look at the people that run businesses. I am delighted that the radio industry has at least four women that run big companies.
Right.
And I think that's absolutely terrific.
Yeah. You know, Dick, and a case can be made too. It's not just women. Men are, you know, there are certain men that have been preyed upon too. You know, I just read an article from Anthony Edwards, the guy that was Goose in Top Gun. When he was 14 years old, you know, the guy that was his mentor and his, you know, he looked up to him. He was very much a father figure to this young Anthony Edwards and this pack of young men. And he abused every single one of them. And Anthony finally just like, okay, I gotta get this off my chest. I've got to move on. I got to help other people.
Yep.
So it really kind of comes down to just decency and treating people with respect and keeping your flipping hands to yourself.
Yeah. I mean, it just doesn't seem like it's that hard.
No, really. It really doesn't. But, okay, so I'm, you know, being the feminist that you are, and God bless you, because I, you've always stood up for us, and I really do appreciate that. Let's talk about what's happening in radio today, because we're going to have a special guest coming on in a couple minutes. We'll take a little break for my sponsor, but then I've got someone calling into the show who is a dear friend of mine that I have known, that we actually went to class together. We went to Specs back in the 80s. And Jerry is still in broadcasting. Yeah. So it's kind of exciting to see someone still thriving and still
That's the nice thing about having been here for 45 years is that I run it, you know. Well, the downside of that is that the fourth graduate from early in the game has just announced their retirement.
Wow.
And I'm coming to work every day, right?
Yeah, that's cool.
And these guys have all had wonderful careers. It's the nice thing about what I am, where I'm at today, is these are the people I talk to. Are people that I'm going to have lunch next week with a guy that was the sales manager or general manager of half the radio and TV stations in Detroit. His name is Wayne Joseph. He is a great guy. He's been retired for about a year now. And it's just fun to go back and well, you and I
mean, right, exactly.
We've known each other a minute or two.
Exactly. And it's just, you know, it's what's interesting is that it has changed, but I think if the individual changes with the actual medium and with the what is out there, you know, you can still have a fabulous, fun, vibrant career. Oh. I mean, I look forward to this little show now. Now, you know, am I getting rich doing the show? No, but I never got into radio to get rich. I got into radio because it was fun.
Yeah.
And it was music and it was great energy and the people and just being part of, you know, putting that out there and being able to communicate with complete strangers that end up becoming your friends. I mean, I'm friends with listeners today that that have been so loving and so kind. Like I had one lady who like she heard everything I said and she actually started. Wow. Yeah. And remembers, like she remembers when my mother passed. She remembers when my dog died. I mean, I've got friends and family members that don't remember those things.
Yeah.
And here's this listener who you touch just because you have this level of kindness and you're communicating one on one, which guess who taught me that? Don't talk to a crowd. Don't go, how are you today? You know, you want to talk directly to one person.
Yep.
I mean, you told me that a long time ago. You said, picture the person that you love the most and communicate with that individual because that will resonate through your voice and you will reach that person.
And that's why people like you are successful.
Yeah. Hey, it's just been so much fun. Hey, Jerry's on line one. We're going to take a quick break for my sponsor, Go Cleanse. And when we come back, I'm going to introduce you to a friend of mine, Jerry Noble, and I'm going to let Jerry and Dick take it away for the latter part of the show. And we're going to hear from another grad. So this is so fun, Dick. I've been wanting to do this since we first came on with Fun with Dick and Jane. So
delighted
here we
that
go.
You're doing it.
I'm pumped. I mean, this is so fun. I could do this every single week. So when we come back, we're going to talk with Jerry Noble and Dick Kernan on Voices of Vision, or today it's Fun with Dick and Jane on Voices of Vision.
Voices of Vision with Jane Asher. We'll be right back on Empower Radio.
It's Nancy Newcomer, host of your Back to the Kitchen Minute on Empower Radio. And I also do middays at 98.5 KFOX in the San Francisco Bay Area. I'm on a 30-day cleanse right now, and I wanted to share with you why I think the fall is a great time to get on this. We are heading right toward Thanksgiving and Christmas when all the indulgences come our way. And it's a really great time to get a handle on your health. I just returned from a vacation, and I was feeling a little sluggish, so I decided to get back on the cleanse, and that's what I'm doing. I'm feeling great, and the best part about it, too, is I'm breaking out my crock pot and cooking lots of warm, healthy meals. That's what I love about Go Cleanse. You can cook really good food and be on the program, drop the pounds, cleanse your body, and lose inches as well. If you want to ask any questions, you can contact a Go Cleanse coach. Go to their website at gocleanse.com.
Welcome back to Empower Radio's Voices of Vision with your host, Jane Asher.
This is so cool because I have my fabulous radio mentor and muse, Dick Kernan, on one in the studio in Detroit. And then I have one of my oldest friends in radio who I absolutely adore. And we worked together back in the day at WBMI, BMB, West Branch, and just had the best time. His name is Jerry Noble. Jerry is 30 years plus now in the business. He's a program director. He's middays in Flint, Michigan. And seriously, one of the only guys in the world that I know could talk down Stevie Winwood's While You See a Chance, which I think is 56 seconds, isn't it, Jerry?
4:10 fade on the end. Plus the album version, then you're up about 5. But yeah, otherwise I think we're in good shape.
Seriously, Jerry, you are really one of the best. I mean, back in the day, it was top 40 and nobody could touch you. I mean, you could hit a post like nobody's business. So I'm going to fade in the back. I love that you two are together. The whole concept of this is just to bring about some great memories and some fun radio stories from Dick and now with Jerry Noble.
Well, so, and I think that you should mention the fact that you and Jerry were both in the same class here at the Specs Howard School.
PD 980, baby.
There you go.
Yeah, Jerry
it's
and I.
It's funny how I tell people that I attended school at Specs Howard back in the old days when they only taught radio.
Yep.
No doubt. Oh my goodness, if those walls could talk, Jer. It was so much fun. Remember, Hamburger D, man.
And the thing that I always find most interesting is that the things that you just at the time found to be kind of enormously, you know, maybe a little cute or maybe not all of that significant, when you kind of, you know, take a long view and you kind of sit back and you look at it, you know, over 30 years later, and you realize that, you know, the, hey, we're just going to go get a cheeseburger ends with, hey, it's 35 years later and all three of us are talking on a radio show or on a podcast. That kind of stuff kind of leaves me a little stunned sometimes.
Yeah,
you think
that's
it leaves
so
you
cool.
stunned? How do you think it leaves a guy who's been there 45 years?
That's amazing.
Exactly.
I have a little story about Jerry.
Oh, I love it. Bring it on.
Last year, his morning guy was going on vacation. And there is yet another classmate who is a TV sports guy for a long time up in Saginaw. And he's now a financial planner. And Jerry called him and said, hey, my morning guy's going on vacation next week. How'd you like to do the show? Well, why am I blocking on his name?
Todd Arner.
Thank you. So he said, really? I can do the morning show? While your guy's on vacation? Jerry said, yeah, why don't you see if you can round up some guests?
Oh, my goodness.
So, of course, the first person he calls is guess who? And so I said, hell yes, I would love that. That'd be great. And he said, do you know anybody else? I said, yeah, I think I do, but I'll have to call him. So I call this guy. His name is Steve Leto. And I won't go into a long bio here, but I call them. He runs a website for car people, blah, blah. And I called him and I said, hey, would you mind going on with Todd as a guest? And he said, yeah, I guess not. So they get together on the phone and they go through the whole drill, what time, what day, everything else. So Jerry said, so you're all right with this? Because they went to class together, for God's sake. Of course he's all right with it. He said, so he calls Steve Leto, this other guy, and he goes through his whole thing. Hey, I'd like to have you on the show as a guest, yada, 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 yada. And the guy said, yeah, I'd love to. He said, you know, I do a show every week on that station.
Oh, my God. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's a small world, boy, I'll tell you.
It really is. You know, there's a kind of an old running joke that says the radio business is 10 guys and 9 jobs. And it just becomes one of these kind of revolving door things where, you know, okay, whose turn is it to be off the merry-go-round for a couple of minutes? And,
right.
You know, now I joke it's okay. It's different now because it's 10 guys and 6 jobs, but it's okay. Oh. You'd still do the job of the other 3 that they let go. So
it's so true. Lucky you.
Changes. Yeah, exactly.
Well, see, the thing that's going on that really is fascinating to me, I was named program director of an FM station in 1969.
Oh, my goodness.
And I almost turned, well, no, I did turn it down. And the guy said, well, we don't know what we're going to do with you if you don't take this job, because I was already the assistant PD of the AM station. So I became the first program director of what's now WRIF in Detroit. And it was just kind of amazing to me. You have to understand when this was. I had been with the American Broadcasting Company for 12 years. I knew everybody in the building, the TV people, everybody else. And they would see me in the cafeteria and pat me on the shoulder and say, hey, Dick, how's that F thing working out? They didn't think FM was ever going to work.
Wow. And here we are now.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
It really exactly. was. I did it for 3 years. I hated it. I am not a manager. I found that out. It was a great lesson. When I came to the school, Specs wanted me to be the president. I said, no. He said, what do you mean, no? I said, no, I don't do management well. I have a couple other ideas that I think will be more valuable to the school, because I haven't. Well, the guy that interviewed me for the job at ABC said, well, what's your cost accounting background? I said, well, you know, I have to be candid with you. I haven't balanced my checkbook in 10 years. The guy quadded up my application and told me to get the hell out of the office.
Oh, my God. All right, Jerry. So I know you have a Dick Kernan story that you can share with us.
There's a couple of them we can kind of get into. But, you know, before I kind of get into that, that story that Dick just told really, to me, is one of the great things that's always been valuable about having Dick as, you know, kind of that sounding board or advisor or kind of thing. Because Dick has always had that lovely ability to kind of not just tell you what you're good at, but tell you kind of, well, maybe you only want to rethink this. Mm-hmm. That a lot of times people can kind of get into this industry with a lot of kind of the big pie in the sky dreams about what they think they're going to do or what they think they're going to be good at. Mm-hmm. And then they actually get into it and they find out, well, okay, maybe not. And Dick has always been kind of that kind of guiding force that says, okay, maybe what about this part of the business or what about this area? And it's always been one of that great ability to kind of read people and help kind of steer people in the right direction that I've always found amazing. And one of the great things that I've really appreciated about knowing Dick for,
and it's been very, very gratifying. I mean, I cannot tell you, you know, I'm going to be 80 years old next March, and people say, when are you going to retire? And I say, from what? And they say, from your job. I said, I looked up job. If I had one of those damn things, I'd have retired 20 years ago.
That's
this ain't
so
no
true.
Job.
I love it.
And the kind of things that we're talking about are what make my day. Every day, touching base with people. And believe me, I really appreciate your appreciation of what I've done. But I will tell you, I've had more fun at it than you have.
Oh, my goodness. Good to know.
Yeah, no kidding.
The other thing that kind of goes back to some of the, you know, the stories of kind of attending school and that kind of thing is, I think one of the, and obviously this is going to be a dated story because I know that, you know, we've all kind of learned sometimes to make better decisions in life than maybe we used to before. But
really?
I think, yeah, exactly. I know. You're shocked, right? But it was the first day of class when somebody comes in, and this is when Dick was still smoking unfiltered Camels.
Lucky Strikes.
Or Lucky Strikes or something. But I knew, but you know, it was it borrowed a cigarette from somebody, broke the filter off, and lit the other end. And here's a room full of 18-year-old kids that you would have thought that we had just murdered somebody on the desk in that classroom. It was just, you know, kind of mind-blowing. And that's kind of one of your first tastes of this guy that's going to teach me stuff here at this broadcasting school. And I found it just to be enormously, like, what's this all about? Oh, well, okay, sure. Let's do this. Well, okay, why not? And I think that's a great, almost kind of lesson in a way that kind of teaches people about what this business can be of where, okay, what you thought you were coming in to do today is not going to be what you end up doing today. And sometimes, again, things kind of throw you curveballs. And if you can kind of learn to read and react and address a lot of that kind of stuff, it really goes a long way. So,
well, I just got reacquainted with a grad from many, many years ago. And I had this kind of a conversation with her. I hadn't seen her in, I'm saying, at least 15 years. And she is now half the morning show at WCSX here in town. And she said, I don't know if you remember me or not, but when I was in school, I was a single mom with a young kid and a job, a midnight job in a factory. And I'll never forget the day that I fell asleep in your class and you came back and laid your hand on my shoulder and said, you know, the Holiday Inn is cheaper.
Oh my God.
This woman went on to work in radio. Okay. A lot of different places. Okay. But the ones that really stick out, she worked in Egypt for 5 years.
Wow.
Until the government went to hell and got another job in South Africa.
Wow.
And her last job here in the States was at KFI in Los Angeles. Huge AM radio station.
Oh, yeah. Massive.
But it was, you know, it was just so much fun touching base with her.
She said, how gratifying is that for you, Dick, that when you hear these stories of, you know, kids that came out of, you know, the suburb, most predominantly the suburbs of Detroit.
Yep.
And get these jobs, and then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, they're guys that are, you know, the vice president of programming for iHeart in Miami, and are working, you know, working in national positions of prominence, and they all kind of came out of this, you know, this school in Southfield, Michigan. That, how much pride does that give you?
I couldn't even begin to describe it, Jerry. Honestly, it just makes my day. I mean, when I turn on Channel 2 and see, what is her name? Woman that is the co-host of the morning show. And if I weren't senile, I'd remember her name. Glenda Lewis at Channel 7. There's a guy here in town, a lawyer, former lawyer named Charlie Langton, who is just a great story. Let me just tell you about this guy, okay? I was on a cable commission in Dearborn, and they had a big meeting of all the cable people someplace. This goes back when this was a big deal. And one of my grads was producing a cable show for a guy named Charlie Langton. And he said, you know, are you going to be there? And I said, yeah, I'm going to be there. He said, well, he really wants to talk to you. Okay, this guy's what, a lawyer? Right. Oh, and his father owns the law firm? Yeah, right. So he said, you know, I'd really like to come to school. And I thought, yeah, right. And damned if about 3 months later, I'm not taking attendance for a new class. And there he is. Mm. And it was a class that ran from 6 until 10:30. And I thought, this guy's going to last about a week. He finished the course. I was doing a talk show for a silly little radio station. And they said, you know, Dick, we can't afford to pay you anymore. I said, yeah, well, that's fine. And I said, what are you going to replace me with? He said, well, we don't know. And I said, I'll tell you what, I've got a graduate who will do the show for free. And so Charlie went on the air out there for free and is now the morning news street reporter for WWJ here in town. That's and so also cool. Is works for Channel 2 on special projects.
Wow.
And, I mean, this guy, I remember he came out here. We did an interview out here, and we got done, and his phone rang. And he lit up like a rocket. And I said, what's going on? He said, Kwame Kilpatrick just got out of jail. I think he injured 12 people on the way out the door.
Oh my goodness.
No, wow. He's a great guy. Anyway, and that's the great thing is that people like Jerry and Todd and people like this, to have had some part in their early life is more valuable than anything I can think of, short of my children and my wife.
Aw, that's so cool. You know, and I know Jerry's got a hop because he's actually on the air right now, simultaneously, while we're doing this broadcast.
I taught him how to do that.
Exactly. And I you know.
Just another great thing you learned at Specs Howard.
Exactly. And, you know, I'll just say one quick little thing, and then I want to turn it over to Jerry before he has to leave us. The fact that it's 2017, that we can still pick up the phone and call you, Mr. Kernan, and have a conversation with you and just be your friend. And you are our mentor, but you're so good at remembering who we are and what we're all about.
I even occasionally remember your names.
Exactly. And that's a good thing. I mean, I value our relationship now as much or more than I did 30 odd years ago. So props from me. So Jerry, what do you got for us before you got to hop off the phone here?
Again, to kind of just echo what you said, Jane, that, you know, that out of all of the things that, you know, I've done in the industry and in the business, in different markets and different stations and different places, just to have the ability to pick up the phone 30 plus years later and call Dick Kernan and say, hey, what do you know about this? Or what can you tell me about this? That's the best investment I ever made in this industry. That to me is worth as much or more than the tuition money. So
thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Well said, Jerry. Jerry, thank you so much for taking your time today to hop on Fun with Dick and Jane, because you're our first guest on this series. We're going to do a whole bunch of these and talk to grads and get some fun stories. And it's just such a pleasure. And when Schoenhide said, you know, get a hold of Jerry, and I was like, oh, Jerry's perfect. He'll be the perfect guy. He might even be able to talk us out. So give us one of your famous raps before you leave, Jerry.
All right. More coming up on the Voices of Vision. Did I hit the vocal?
That's it. Well, we almost we do have to say goodbye because we actually ran a little bit long, but I happen to know the guy that runs the network, so I think we'll be okay. That's the beauty of podcasting.
Tell him to send me the extra. I'll pay the extra $5 and send me the bill.
There you go. Thanks so much, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry. It's been great.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Mr. Kernan, you've got to give me a list of who we're going to talk to next, and we'll just start getting a hold of people and doing one show after another. How about that?
Well, I think this is something we better do off the air, because it's going to be a very, very long list.
Exactly. We will do that. Thanks so much for listening to Voices of Vision. Today's version was Fun with Dick and Jane, and of course, the fabulous Jerry Noble. Big thanks to Jerry for coming on the show. I'll talk to you next Monday.
Inspired? Motivated? We hope so. Join Jane next week as she connects with another motivated soul, driven to live their life's purpose on Voices of Vision, here on Empower Radio.